Christmas time. It's Christ's time. And isn't it wonderful when we see glimpses of Christmas peace around us? Maybe you've seen online pictures of animals getting along that normally would not. Tonight, I want us to see a peace that should not, because we see pictures of animals that normally would not get along being together, but I want us to look at a peace that really is peace that should truly get our attention. And this peace, we talked about the natures of animals, but this peace really goes against our nature. And the reason I say that is because we have a sin nature. For the peace and reconciliation of God and man to take place, there has to be something changed regarding our nature. And of course, only Jesus Christ can bring about this transformation. Only he can bring about his peace through the salvation of our souls. Now, there are five New Testament words that richly describe this salvation. We have justification, which declares the sinner righteous. We have redemption, which declares the sinner free. We have forgiveness, which declares the sinner's debt paid in full. We have adoption, which declares the sinner a son. And we have reconciliation, which declares the sinner to become now a friend. Honestly, salvation is monumental, since it declares guilty sinners righteous, free, debt-free, a son, and a friend. Friends, I say that gets my attention. Now, the Greek word for reconcile, the normal Greek word, means to change or to exchange. And the New Testament speaks of the change and restoration of the relationship between God and man. Well, in the portion of Scripture before us in Colossians chapter 1, the Greek word used here for reconcile is really a slightly different word. It's a compound word, which means to be completely and totally reconciled, which tells us in Christ we have total, complete, and full reconciliation through Jesus Christ. And so as one author writes, inasmuch as he possesses all the fullness of deity, Jesus is able to fully reconcile sinful men and women to God. End of quote. Now I want us this evening for just a few minutes to look at God's plan of reconciliation through the lens of Paul as he writes in Colossians chapter 1. And let me read these verses beginning with verse 20 through verse 22. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind, by wicked works yet hath he now reconciled, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Our first point this evening is the recipients of God's reconciliation. Who gets reconciled? Well, verse 20 again tells us, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile, what are the next two words? All things unto himself. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to this earth to reconcile all things. And all things include a universe that has been marred by sin. Please remember, when God first created the heavens and the earth, he made them perfect. He saw that they were very good, but we all know what took place. God's good creation was soon ruined by man's sin, which destroyed the perfect harmony between creatures and all creation and the Creator. But reconciliation, friends, is coming. The wolf and the lamb will one day again graze together, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Peter writes, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, Look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Why would he say wherein dwelleth righteousness? Because where sin is, there's separation. Sin separates creature from creature. It separates creatures from God. It separates man and women from one another. And so in the new heavens and the new earth, there's going to be total and complete righteousness, which means there will be no more enmity at all. It will be a total friendship with creation. In other words, all creation will be of one heart and one voice. And so God again will make friends with his universe. And further, all things includes, as verse 21 tells us, you and me. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. The Greek word alienated means estranged, those cut off, or those separated. Now, before reconciliation, we were completely estranged from God. And further, we were enemies in our minds. The Greek word used here means hateful. Before reconciliation, you and I hated God because we loved darkness rather than light as seen in our evil deeds and thoughts. And I think we could call that a crisis. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. He had just said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then about three verses down, he said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Honestly, the problem with our hearts is not ignorance, but a willful love of sin. But the end of verse 21 states, "Yet now hath he reconciled." God in love has befriended you and me. God has reached out to you. He's reached out to me. He seeks to be reconciled with you and me. Well, we come now to our second point, and that is the means of reconciliation. Notice the recipients of reconciliation, all things, which includes the universe. One day there will be a new heaven and a new earth, which includes now you and me. But notice the means of reconciliation, which we see described in verse 20 and then in the first part of verse 22. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross. And this blood was shed through the body of his flesh through death." Now, why would Paul say that the shedding of Christ's blood through his death on the cross was necessary? Why was it necessary for peace to be made between us and God? Because Romans 5:9 tells us we are justified by his blood. We are declared righteous. We are declared holy through his blood, which means the sin which separated us from God has been atoned for. Christ died, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, the just for the unjust. And tell me, who are the unjust? Well, we are the unjust. And why? For the purpose that he might bring us to God. And through the shedding of his sinless blood on a cruel cross, he can now provide the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, we read, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." And therefore, as Paul says in Romans chapter 5, "being justified by faith, we have peace." There's that reconciliation with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 states, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And so the dynamic, the means of reconciliation, was the bloody death of Jesus Christ on an old rugged cross. And we sing the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Think of the means to bring our hands and hearts together. It took the death of God shedding his blood on a cruel cross. What a price has been paid for us to be reconciled to God. And then the aim of reconciliation, our last point, the question, why would Jesus go to such an extreme to make reconciliation between him and us? Well, verse 22 gives us the answer, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. God's ultimate goal in reconciliation is not just to remove enmity and bring our hearts together. It's to present us as holy and blameless and above reproach as blood-washed sinners to God. Now, the Greek word for holy means to be separated from sin and set apart to God. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus died on a cross so that you and I might become holy people. The Greek word that describes unblameable means without blemish. In other words, a blameless character. Jesus died on an old rugged cross to shed his blood that you and I might have a blameless character. And then the Greek word for unreprovable goes beyond blameless. It means not only that we are without blemish, but that no one can bring a charge against us that will stick. Jesus died on that cruel cross, shedding his blood so that no one can truly say, you know, you've got a problem here, you've got a problem there. For again, we're holy and blameable and unreprovable in his sight. What a transformation, sinner becoming a saint because of the reconciliation, the salvation that God provides through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, presently, the process of spiritual growth involves becoming in practice what we are in reality before God. In other words, our position becomes, we're righteous, we stand righteous at God's side. Our position is transformed into our practice, how we live. But one day our reconciliation in Christ will be completed when in heaven's glory we stand clothed in the complete and total divine righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we will truly be like Christ, for we shall see him as he is. One day we'll never think another evil thought. One day we'll never tell another lie. One day we'll never have a critical spirit. One day we'll never think again a lustful thought. We'll be like Jesus, for we shall see him as he is. Then the goal of reconciliation will be fully reached. Now let's think this through as we close. When we were born, we were alienated from God. We were enemies in our minds because of our wicked and sinful hearts. We said, we will not have this man rule over us. And because of our sin, we stood separated from God. Keep in mind, even after we become Christians, sin separates us from God. It doesn't separate us from our standing. In other words, we stand righteous in God's sight, but it certainly affects our fellowship with the living God. But in God's salvation plan, he sent his virgin-born sinless son, who gave up his life as an atonement for our sins on the cross. He paid the sinner's penalty, which declares we are now forgiven. We are now justified, redeemed, reconciled, and adopted sons and daughters of God's family. Formerly, we were children of Satan, but now we are members of the very household of God. We now are the family of God. And the real time and space event that began God's plan of reconciliation, we read of in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as his spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And thereafter the Savior died so that we might be saved from our sin, and be reconciled to God. And so let us now remember this divine grace, grace greater than all our sin. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. A grace that we now need to extend to others in the family of God. A grace that seeks reconciliation between God's children. Now, honestly, if love/grace could move God to be reconciled to sinful hearts separated from Him, and that love, that grace, go to the length of sending His Son to literally die in mankind's place, can we not grace others with the same befriending peace? I mean, if God would go to that length to be reconciled to us, why can't we say, I'm sorry to those around us? A cheetah and a lab being friends is amusing, but holy God and sinful man becoming friends through Christ is amazing. And when you and I join hands and hearts with God's children in love and encouragement and hope and friendship, it's divine. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?